Welcome into the Fantasy Phenoms podcast. Justin Erforth alongside Andrew Cook. It is Tuesday, August 20th. We just want to welcome you back to the show. Before we get started, I want to make sure you can follow us on social media. On Twitter, you can follow us at the FF Phenoms. Myself at Justin Erforth and Andrew at Phenom AC. You can also follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. Say hi to the people, Andrew.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, people?
That's this week.
Okay, all right.
Also, make sure to look up our podcast on Google Podcasts, too, because we're also on there. And we're on Pocket Casts, and we're on Radio something.
And bonjour to those listeners.
Yeah, but you'll see it. You'll see it. We'll be on a lot of different platforms over the next couple weeks here.
Well, we have a nice show here for you today. We're going to have a nice new segment Andrew came up with. It's called Guess That Wide Receiver, followed by our top 15 wide receiver rankings. So, we got a nice jam-packed show. I think we should just jump right in, Andrew.
Okay, let's do it. So, the point of this question is for Justin to try and figure out who this wide receiver is. I tried to make it pretty hard, honestly. This wide receiver could be anywhere. It could be an elite wide receiver, one of the top tiers. He's not going to be terrible, but we're just going to see how you do. Okay, so in 2017, I was the wide receiver 5 in PPR scoring. In 2018, I finished as the wide receiver 18. CBS now projects me to be the wide receiver 28 in 2019.
Ooh.
This year will be the second time that I've had a top 10 drafted quarterback throw me the ball. As in, when you draft quarterback, top 10, the actual rookie draft that goes on every year, He's had 2 top 10 quarterbacks that have been drafted. Yet I'm still projected to have one of my worst seasons of my career. I was drafted in 2014. Who am I? This isn't easy.
Is it Jarvis Landry?
Wow! Oh my gosh, that's pretty impressive.
Let's go.
Okay, now how did you figure that out?
I think it was mainly the 2 top 10 quarterbacks. I'm thinking was obviously Baker Mayfield, and they had Ryan Tannehill prior to that. And I know he has had some bad luck as far as ADP the last few years. He's been still extremely productive, gets those looks. It's just the yards aren't quite there consistently. But he still is an extremely talented wide receiver, and I think, I don't know, he's kind of up in the air. Could have a solid year. Not quite like a top 15 player. Not to like foreshadow any of our rankings, but
sure,
he won't be in the top 15. But
when you have Odell come in at wide receiver,
And you have all those weapons, you got Chubb, you got Njoku, it's just not really in the cards there.
I tried to kind of trick you there because he was the wide receiver 5 one year, then 18, and then 28 he's projected right now, but I think there is a scenario. We're not going to talk about Jarvis today, but I think there is a scenario where...
We are talking about Jarvis right
well,
now.
Well, so in we're terms talking of, about you know, he was not in our top 15.
We've got to specify here.
But...
Didn't know if that
I
counted.
I think it could turn into a Rams situation. It really could. I feel like it could be, like, there's actually multiple relevant wide receivers. Like
Do you think he's top 15 relevant like the Rams are?
No, I don't think he's top 15 relevant, but he could be top 24 relevant.
Okay.
Could be a low-end wide receiver too.
Low and 2, solid flex. I mean,
I can see it happening.
He's still a valuable commodity, just not that top tier guy
that
he could be in another situation.
Right. Yeah, so I think, I'm surprised he got that right away.
I'm honestly surprised too. I'm usually terrible at these games, I'll be completely honest with you. I'm 1-for-1. I'm looking very impressed to the listeners. So in their case, I'm extremely talented.
No, they're not impressed. I hear them talking. They're not impressed, actually.
They're not?
No, they're not impressed.
All right, I'm just going to leave then.
They're actually not even listening to the show, so they're actually just doing it.
Oh, people actually listen to this?
No, well, you know, some. Okay. A couple.
Cool. All right. Thanks,
Grandmothers,
Dad.
Grandfathers.
All right, Dad. Thanks for listening.
Okay, well, let's just jump into the top 15 wide receiver rankings. Justin, if you want to tackle who our number one wide receiver is, he's a sleeper.
Really is a sleeper. We're going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. I know, very bold choice. Actually, in all seriousness, DeAndre Hopkins, it is between either DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams. Those two kind of flip-flop 1 and 2. Basically depends on what you're looking for there. So I can just run through some of his stats that are notable. So one thing that he is really persistent with, he is extremely durable. You know, one of the best abilities in football is your availability. That's what they say. Sure. So in his 96 career games he could have been able to play, he's played 95 of them.
That's
so
crazy.
That's insanely.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah, it's insanely good. He has played banged up, so even if he is a little banged up, he still will find his way onto the field, and he still will perform for you. For this past season, he had 115 catches on 163 targets. That's a 70% catch rate. I put it in the calculator. I did it all by myself. So he had 1,572 yards, which was a career high for him. And he did score 11 touchdowns, averaging 13.7 yards per catch. I mean, one of the first things to think with DeAndre Hopkins, number one, arguably one of the coolest hairdos in the entire league. And two, stud receiver. I know stud receiver comes second because you see the hair first. So I can't confuse the two there.
He might go short this year. Could be short hair.
If he cuts his hair, I'm going to look extremely dumb.
This might be a weird opinion. I feel like all players that have like dreads, literally, they look so much better when they play. Like, I feel like they're better players. They get like a plus. Like, if you're playing Madden, they get like plus +3 overall.
Really?
If you have dreads. If you make a player in Madden and you give him dreads, he gets plus +3 overall.
Is that true?
At all his positions. Like, literally everything.
Madden, plus +3 speed. Plus +3 agility. I need you to clarify this for me. I'm going to be reaching out pretty soon. I'm going to.
That's why the top players, dreads, DeAndre Hopkins.
Can we think of a second player with dreads?
Christian McCaffrey.
I don't know.
I
think he just got a haircut.
He
used to have them.
Well, he did. He probably had dreads. Okay.
But DeAndre Hopkins, he performed extremely well, even with the recovering Deshaun Watson. Watson, he's back 100%. He had a full off season, get that camaraderie back together with one another. They had that timing down even before training camp, so that's another big plus. And they could even improve on these already insane numbers from this past year. So, and he's also extremely safe. His lowest performance of the year was in Week 12 against Tennessee. He posted 7.4, and he also has that ceiling to post 29 points, which he had against the Jets in Week 15, right in the heart of the fantasy playoffs. So if I'm like looking at that first wide receiver in that first round, I'd be extremely comfortable like rolling with Hopkins there for that first pick.
Yeah, if you were a Hopkins owner last year, which I was, it felt great. It felt so nice because you knew he was putting up points every single week. Worst case, the majority of the time, it's like 10 points. Hopkins is so nice to have on your roster. It just comes down to when you're going to draft him. Right now, his ADP is around like 5-6.
Yeah.
So, you know, either you go for one of those probably like second-tier running backs or you pick up the best wide receiver on the board. You can argue that our next wide receiver is also up there, but Hopkins is a great pick.
Yeah, and it's also our consensus number two coming up. We have Davante Adams of the Green Bay Packers. He also had an insanely efficient year, dropping 111 receptions on 169 targets. Posted a career-high 1,386 yards, 13 touchdowns, and averaged 12.5 a catch. And he did not have dreadlocks, believe it or not.
You know what? I think he has, like, really short cornrows.
They're cornrows. Cornrows are not dreadlocks. I will take that to the grave. They are not dreadlocks. They are cornrows. Not the same thing.
Close enough.
You know, tomato, tomato. It's,
yeah, exactly.
It is what it is, I guess. But the Adams, he is still a really safe pick here for that second wide receiver. He only had, I believe he was one of the most consistent players in fantasy football. He only scored under 10 points once throughout the entire season. That's insane. Basically, if you just fall asleep and wake up in the morning, you didn't watch any games, you can assume Davante Adams had at least 10 points. Yep. That's one of the safest bets in all of fantasy football from the 2018 season. Even with all the changes going on, with Matt LaFleur coming as the head coach, one thing remained constant, Aaron Rodgers will target Davante Adams. That's pretty much set in stone.
It's also important to note, Davante Adams had one less game than DeAndre Hopkins, so he would have been the wide receiver one. Last year, he would have finished as the wide receiver one, but he played 15, Hopkins played 16.
Makes a difference.
Yeah. If he had that extra game, he'd probably be like, you know, 15, 20 points higher than Hopkins right now for the 2018 finishes. But moving on to three, I think Hopkins, Adams, across most boards are your one and two. I don't think there's that much disparity there. Over to three, our consensus three is Julio Jones. Julio Jones I think he's going to be on a pretty good offense. I think Devonta Freeman is going to stay healthy.
Yes.
Julio Jones can have a great year. And last year, I think you might have the specific stats on it, but I'd say it had to be through, like, his first 8 weeks he didn't have a touchdown. It was a while.
Trust me, it was through the first eight weeks he did not score a single touchdown. Yeah. I owned him. I traded for him. I was extremely happy to get him. First few weeks did not pan out. He got the yards, didn't get the touchdown, so the fantasy points, they were really mediocre. They had, like, the 8, 9, occasional 10-plus point performance. But he didn't really explode until about halfway through the year, and he went on an insane tear. I believe that, for the last, like, 7-8 games, he scored 8 touchdowns. So he's just extremely safe. He carried me throughout the back half of the season, helped me come back, claw my way back, and I made the championship round. As a result of that, he's a great asset for you, and I think he's going to continue that here in 2019. He even had a quote at the beginning of training camp. He said, I might mess around. I might go for 3,000. And, like, I can't argue with the fact that he's going to go off, but, I mean, 3,000 is not too likely. Maybe 2, maybe.
Yeah, I think Calvin Ridley might have something to say about that. I think he's going to eat in a little bit. I mean Calvin Ridley, obviously, what's his second year now?
Yeah, it's his second year.
This is when he should kind of make some moves.
I mean, he's going to have it. He's going to have his own. If this offense is as good as we think.
No Mohamed Sanu.
Yeah, I think it's really, so, I think it's really safe. I mean, having that bona fide number two on the other side with Calvin Ridley, I think that's really going to, like, benefit Julio. You're going to take away those double teams, and he's going to find his way maybe in the end zone, hopefully, about eight to ten times this season. If he gets those numbers, extremely safe here at wide receiver three. And he's going in, like, round two in some drafts.
Yeah.
Obviously, it depends on your board, but typically end of round one into early round two. I think that's a steal there.
Yeah, I've got him at 2 in some mock drafts already.
It's an extremely valuable pick there, especially if you go running back round one, you still get a bona fide stud in the second round, right around that turn there.
Yeah, only question I think with Julio is probably just injury, hoping he doesn't get injured.
He comes off the field at least once a game. Like, he rolls an ankle or something, you think the world's crumbling to an end, and he comes hobbling back on the field, and then he burns a corner for a touchdown.
He really could easily finish as the wide receiver one, just because of that whole long stretch of no touchdowns for the first 8 weeks.
Like, and he is currently growing dreadlocks back.
Breaking news!
Okay, when he got drafted, he had dreadlocks, he cut them, he didn't score as many touchdowns, he grew them back. Lo and behold, he's in the end zone. I think you're onto something here.
I am, exactly.
Oh my goodness.
Exactly. And let's see, who do we have it for, Justin?
So I believe we have a little bit of a consensus here. Our consensus number 4 is Tyreek Hill. I have him at number 5. We'll talk about my guy, who I have at number 4, in a little bit. He did kind of slide down, actually, to number 5, but we'll get to him in a little bit. But Tyreek Hill is our consensus number 4. There's a reason this man has @cheetah as his Twitter handle. He's fast.
That's such an ode. That's such a good Twitter handle.
Really? Like, I know. Like, you're stuck with @PhenomAC. You couldn't even get your name.
@Phenom. I'm going to have to contact them. I'm going to have to contact whoever has that. If I can get that, we're going places.
Oh, we're going places?
Yep.
Okay. But, I mean, there's a reason he's got @Cheetah. He flies down the field. He played on, like, a bum leg for, like, a few weeks, and he still burned half the corners in the entire league, which is insane. He's by far the fastest player in the entire league, and the stats show it. He had 87 catches for 1479 and 12 touchdowns. All these stats were career highs for him. He averaged 17 yards per catch. Incredible performance from Tyreek Hill. He had those weeks where he basically just won you an entire week. Yep. He had 5 games over 23 fantasy points last year. But on the flip side, I will give you the other side as well. He did have 5 games with under 8 fantasy points. I think the risk and reward is there, obviously. I would take the reward is definitely higher than the risk there. He's going to give you those weeks where he just puts you on his back, and he basically won teams at least 5 weeks in fantasy football this past season. I will put that on my roster any day of the week.
Yeah, this is your classic boom-bust player, except with more consistency.
There's more boom than bust.
Yeah, and there's much more consistency with Tyreek Hill. I think out of some of the top wide receivers, he does have a slight risk aspect to him because he can have those weeks where he might bust. And busting is probably just going to be like 6 points or something. It shouldn't be too bad, but he's a number one, but he's just not your true number one, as in, like, Julio Jones, Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Thomas, you know, etc. He's just a different type of monster out there. So there's some risk, but he could easily also finish wide receiver one. Like, it's possible. He finished wide receiver one in standard, so and that was last year, and that was when they lost Kareem Hunt. So this year with Damian Williams,
They're going to let the air it out a little bit. Mahomes, he's not going to just hand the ball off about 30 times a game. He's going to be slinging it at least 30, 40 times. So Hill is bound to get a lot of those targets. Yep. So we're going to move on to our number 5 consensus.
I think you're high. I think you're a good amount higher on him than me here.
I'm really high. I have this man at number 4. You have him at number 9, I believe.
Got him at 8.
8, okay. But it is Juju Smith-Schuster of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers, they have a star in the making. And fun fact, he also has the name that my brother used to call me when I was first born. He used to call me Juju. He couldn't say Justin when I was first born, so he called me Juju. So fun fact there.
Are you trying to say you're somehow tied to Juju?
I think so. We're like half related now. We had the same name.
So that means he's gonna do bad this season. No, what? Don't draft. You heard it here. Don't draft Juju.
Please take Juju.
Do not draft.
Juju is fantastic. please take him.
Why do you like Juju so much this year?
Well, as a wide receiver 2 last season, behind Antonio Brown, one of the top players of the last 6 years in the entire NFL. As a number 2, he had 166 targets, 111 receptions, 1,426 yards, 7 touchdowns, averaged 12.8 a catch. And you subtract Antonio Brown from the formula there, he's the bona fide number 1. He has the skills. He can run every route in the route tree. He has insane hands. He goes up and gets those contested balls. There's no reason he can't step into that one and succeed, improve on these numbers that he already has. I literally think he has the ability to be a top 3 receiver in fantasy football.
Top three.
He has that potential this season. It's his third year in the NFL. He's done nothing but get better his first 2 years. He's going to be a bona fide stud.
I just worry because I feel like the offense has gotten worse in terms of additions of players. I mean, you have James Conner.
James Washington, he's a sneaky guy later in drafts as well. If you don't happen to get Juju, James Washington, he's a sneaky guy towards that tail end of the draft. I think he's going to really step up a little bit. They still have Eli Rogers in the slot. Vance McDonald's there.
I think it'll probably be Vance that probably gets some more of the targets along with Juju, I would guess. James Washington could do something. It is his... I think it's his second year now.
And honestly, the Steelers, they have nothing but success for, like, in their prior, like, at least 10 years of history. They've done nothing but draft really good receivers.
Antonio Holmes, Emmanuel Sanders, Mike Wallace, you know.
You name it, they get stud after stud after stud. Now, you add Juju to the mix, maybe James Washington a couple years down the road, you never know. I just think there's nothing. This man, he literally, this, like, the sky is the limit. I was almost about to quote Michael Jordan from that. The ceiling is the roof.
The ceiling is the roof.
Yeah, wise words of Michael Jordan, motivational. The ceiling is the roof.
Okay.
So he's going to shatter the ceiling. He's going to burst out into the stars.
Now,
he's incredible.
You have Juju ranked. We have consensus 5. What do you have him at 4?
I have it number 4.
So you have him at 4. So would you take him? What do you expect to take him? I think his ADP is probably around the mid-second right now. Would you take him?
If I saw him at mid-second, I'd be like bursting out inside, jumping for joy. I'd do a backflip, and I can't do a backflip.
Now the problem is, if you have a mid-second, let's say if he's falling mid-second, most likely your first-round pick might be paired with another wide receiver, because then you're probably going to be around that 6-7 spot.
Honestly, I might take him after the bend. If Julio Jones is off the board, I'm going to take Juju.
Wow.
If I get that running back round 1, I'm going to throw Juju in there.
Over Tyreek Hill?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's safer.
Over Tyreek. See, now I just don't buy...
If I'm gonna
when
get,
I think Chiefs offense versus Steelers offense,
I'm gonna take Juju. I love the safeness of him. If you're gonna get that wide receiver one, I personally like the safer guy. I know you like the boom bust guy.
Yeah.
But honestly, say Juju's off the board. Who, if these top 4 receivers in my rankings, they're off the board. Tyreek Hill's there. Sure, I'll take Tyreek Hill. He's the best value. But if I see Juju, he has that boom potential, as well as that safeness. It's a perfect combination that I personally love in my wide receiver 1.
Sure. Yeah, makes sense. So let's see, what do we got at 6? This is a player I really like this year. Our consensus 6 ranking is Michael Thomas. What do you have him at?
I have him at 8.
You have him at 8. I have him at 4. So
I have a reason why I have him at 8.
This is a pretty big
disparity. You talk first about Michael Thomas.
Okay, well, I just don't see a way that Michael Thomas isn't like a top 10 fantasy wide receiver, really. They just gave him all that money. He's going to be... Their offense is now Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they should be the targets, right? It should be Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas that get the touchdowns.
Yeah.
Like, when they get in the red zone, it's Alvin Kamara on a run, or they give it to Michael Thomas. I think he's going to explode. I love him better than a lot of other wide receivers. Like I said, he's ranked above Tyreek Hill for me, above Odell for me, above Juju for me. So Michael Thomas, I think, is one of the safer wide receivers as well. I think his floor is probably around somewhere around 10 points a game. I don't think he's going to get much lower than that. He's just so safe to me. Saints offense, we know it's going to be good. It just comes down to sometimes you get those weird games with Thomas where they just, like, don't throw to him. But you can kind of talk about what you think. But
the only reason I have Michael Thomas at number 8 is because of the actual scheme they work in New Orleans. I mean, he already has the production there. Last year he had 125 catches on 147 targets. There are only 22 passes that were thrown to him that he was not catching, which is absolutely insane to even think of. 1,400 yards, 9 touchdowns. So the production is already there. The only thing that worries me is the fact there, like you said, there's the few games where he does not get those looks. He's not really targeted. It's because they're up by so much. They're running the ball. They're primarily a rushing team. They're going to pound the ball with Kamara. They have Latavius Murray now. They're going to primarily run the ball, take the ball out of Drew Brees' hands.
Jubies. That is now Drew Brees' name.
You Jubies.
You have Jubies as your quarterback. You're set.
You're thriving there. Just name your team Jubies. Name your firstborn Jubies. Jujubies.
If Juju and Drew Brees are on the same
team. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my
gosh, that would be perfect.
Woo!
But, yeah, okay, well, I can understand that. That's the only reason.
The talent's there. He still has that potential. He could find his way, sneak his way into the top five. That's not too big of an incline there going from 8 to 5. But I just think the scheme's going to take him out of that top five area.
Yeah, I can understand that. I just think he's a lot of these wide receivers are super safe. I just really want a part of that Saints offense, and I think it's going to be one of the top five in the league. Just give me Michael Thomas. So let's see. Who do we have next, Justin, at 7? I also think you're higher on this guy than me. I am kind of concerned about Odell Beckham Jr. this year. Concerned in terms of a few things. One, injuries.
Yes. He has that weird stigma. I don't know what it is. Like he gets injured almost probably the last 2 or 3 years. He's not really been on the field towards the latter half. He's not really quote unquote injury prone. He just gets injured.
I mean he played 12 games last year, but it's hard to kind of even credit him for those 12 games because a lot of them he was playing through like weird injuries.
Yeah. So playing injured. Through 12 games, he had 77 for 1,052 yards and 6 touchdowns, 13.7 catch. If that's him injured, I would love to see him healthy. He's incredible. And I have a nice stat here. Okay. So throughout his entire career with Eli Manning, here's how much of a difference Beckham makes for a quarterback. So literally throughout entire Manning's career with Odell and games with and without Odell, Manning's completion percentage drops by a whole 3%. 3%, it just drops. That's huge. That's literally huge. So, like, I think that's a huge difference there. You add that with Baker Mayfield and that Cleveland Browns offense. Not only is Odell going to be valuable, Baker's going to be valuable, and Baker is about 1,000 times better than Eli is at this point in their careers. So, I think the production is going to be there for Odell Beckham. And if he's able to put up these numbers with a pretty pitiful quarterback in Eli Manning, imagine what he's going to get with the actual talented quarterback right now with Baker Mayfield. So I think I really think he has the ability. If he's on the field 16 games, he could kind of sneak his way into that top five as well. But I have it at 6 just because of those injury concerns. So I think that's still playing it kind of safe there.
Yeah, I just kind of worry about all the options that are in Cleveland now.
David Njoku, he's listed as the bona fide one though.
Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry. I don't know. Like that seems like vulturing touchdowns right there. Well,
you mentioned it earlier. It could be like almost like a Los Angeles Rams effect.
It could be like that, but when I'm picking someone for my wide receiver one, I look at a guy like, we can go back to Michael Thomas. I feel like he's much more guaranteed than Odell is, and who's gonna take Michael Thomas's touchdowns except Alvin Kamara? Like, I just don't really see anyone else taking touchdowns.
Trust me, they're going to find someone to take those touchdowns. It's going to be
Taysom Hill.
They're going to get the no-name guys. That's what they did last year.
It could happen. I mean, obviously his talent's there.
I believe your favorite man in this entire world. I believe Teron Armstead is still on the New Orleans Saints.
Now, why is he my favorite man?
So we were playing Madden the other day, and we were playing Ultimate Team. And we're just playing online, ha ha ha. And all of a sudden, you know, for some reason in Ultimate Team, they decided to put, like, your backup left tackle at tight end 3. And for some reason, he went off for 152 yards and 3 touchdowns. How in the world does a backup left tackle, this man weighs 350 pounds.
Yeah.
How does he score 3 touchdowns?
He's elite. He is an elite tight end,
this man
apparently
burned my linebackers, jumped up, made a contested catch. I do not understand.
He's nuts. Yeah, exactly. So what does that say about Saints offense? They're going
to
be incredible.
They're going to find anybody to score. That's my point. That's literally my point here.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, clearly I'm pretty high on Michael Thomas, but Odell, I mean, he's an elite wide receiver, so I think he'll get his, but I just worry a little bit. Clearly, you don't have as much worry. On to 8. I'd like to hear your take on this guy first, because I have some stats, and I think he's, right now, I think the next guy, which is Mike Evans, I think he's being drafted much lower than he should be. I'd like to hear what you think about it.
I have the exact same feeling there. If you look at almost any kind of like mock rating on him, like any ADP, he's usually listed around this 8, 9, 10 area this season. I have him personally at number 10. He is pretty underrated, and my rankings kind of show that, actually. After posting career, he had his career highs in yards per catch as well as receiving last year. With that kind of disarray he had going back and forth to Jameis and Ryan Fitzmagic, they kind of went back and forth there, and he still put up insane numbers. So, and with Bruce Arians coming in, the offensive guru, he's going to fix Jameis Winston, hopefully, fingers crossed, knock on wood. Evans, he's extremely safe, honestly. I just think there's other receivers who could be a little bit better. That's why my rankings do dictate that. But obviously, I can't like point someone in the opposite direction if they love Mike Evans and they want to take him. I believe, where do you have him ranked?
I have him ranked at 6.
Yeah, I honestly couldn't really like get on your
case
about
above
that.
Odell. I have him above Odell, which I just think, I really think the Browns are gonna have a good defense. I think there might be some scenarios they're ahead in games. The Buccaneers, I feel like they're going to be behind every game. Mm-hmm. Like, so Mike Evans is just going to get like hyper targeted. Him and Chris Godwin, their running game is
okay.
Peyton Barber,
put you in the situation. Where's Godwin being drafted right now? Like, what round, roughly?
Godwin's being drafted like 4th round.
Okay,
you know, 4th round.
I'd
probably
say
fourth,
fifth.
Okay.
So all right. So say Godwin's there for you in the 4th or 5th round. Would you rather have that potential with Chris Godwin, who has an insane amount of upside this year? You could take a running back instead of taking Mike Evans. What would you rather do?
This is why that I like Mike Evans. Because I can get him at the start of the 3rd.
Okay.
And some, he's a bit, if you, let's say you have, if you have the 1st, 2nd pick, Mike Evans is falling to the, he's falling to like the 24th pick.
Roughly.
Around there. So if I can take Mike Evans there, who I think is an elite wide receiver, who I have finishing at 6, I'm going to take him. I do think Chris Godwin has crazy value, and it's really great. But if Mike Evans was going in mid to early 2nd, then I would go for Godwin for the value. But I think late 2nd, early 3rd for Evans is perfect.
If Evans is there like early 3rd, I will snatch him up immediately. But yeah, if he's going that round too, I'll wait for Godwin. I'm really, really high on Godwin this year. I'd probably have him just around that number 24 range-ish. So he's still a wide receiver too. I'll gladly scoop him up a couple rounds later and get that running back depth. But it's just kind of where that board falls for him.
Yeah. I mean, and some of the stats I have on Mike Evans. In 2016, he was the wide receiver 2. I think a lot of people forget about that. He was the wide receiver 2 in 2016. He averaged 19 points per game. Pretty incredible. 2017, fell down to the wide receiver 17. So people got a little worried with Mike Evans. Him and Jameis Winston sometimes just, I mean, Jameis Winston will have those games where he throws, like, 4 interceptions. Like, it just happens.
Yeah, and he'll still put up about 15, 16 fantasy points. Been there, done that. It's not the most pleasant 16 points because you realize, hey, he threw 4 interceptions.
Yeah.
He could have gotten at least 20 points.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, even in 2017 when he was the wide receiver 17, 13.5 points per game. Not terrible. 2018, wide receiver 9. Like, for the past 3 years, 2, 17, and 9. I think he's in a good spot. Even if he drops all the way down to wide receiver 17, that's like, I think, his worst case scenario. I don't think that's going to happen again. And comparing him to some of the wide receivers that are around that area, usually in drafts, we'll talk about T.Y. Hilton in a little bit.
Spoiler!
But, Yeah, T.Y. Hilton is going around him, and T.Y. Hilton, over 3 years, averaged 14.6 points per game. Evans averaged 16.76, so about 2 more points per game over the last 3 years for Evans. Evans has just been better. You could also point out the fact that Andrew Luck wasn't a quarterback for a year.
That's a big thing.
It's a big thing, but I think Mike Evans is much more consistent, and I would take him over Hilton, which we'll talk about later.
I think we should move on now to our consensus 9. I'm a little bit higher on him than you are.
Yeah.
But Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers.
I even had him last year, I believe.
I believe you did. I had him the year before that. So we both really do like Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen, he's been slowly climbing up my boards over the last couple weeks with the news of the Melvin Gordon holdout. So last season, Allen averaged 10.2 points per game, all in all, half point PPR, which is very good. They're very consistent numbers for him. So here's where the stats really pop. And I saw this statistic in full point PPR in 12 games when Melvin Gordon was active and playing. Allen, he still had a 20% target share, averaging 6 receptions a game and 16.19 fantasy points per game. This is full point PPR.
Okay.
So those numbers are a little higher than that half point.
Which is our standard format.
Yes. So they're very strong thus far. So let's take a look at the three games where Gordon was out and Allen was active. In those three games, his target share, it jumped from 28% all the way up to 34%. Then he had... went from 6 receptions to 8 receptions per game. And he averaged almost 22 fantasy points per game. And if you're able to get that value, he's currently being taken in the third round right now.
This is around Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton. They're going all around the end of the round. So it's really coming down to who you like the most out of those.
And especially if Melvin Gordon, he's holding out. We don't know when he's coming back. I don't know. He could pull easily a Le'Veon Bell situation. He does not want to play without that new contract. I don't think the Chargers are willing to give him that contract. So it's kind of a risk there. And even if Melvin Gordon comes back, I'm still extremely confident in Keenan Allen performing. He performed all last year. He put up 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns, 97 catches. And that's with Melvin Gordon for almost the entire season. So just imagine him without Melvin Gordon, because they're going to be with Justin Jackson. They're going to have Austin Eckler. So they're not going to have the same amount of line share of carries that Melvin Gordon had all last season. So those looks, they're going to go to Keenan Allen. They're going to go to Hunter Henry. But obviously, Keenan Allen, he will be the main beneficiary from Melvin Gordon's absence.
Are you concerned about Mike Williams taking another step up this year?
I mean, he will take a step up, but they lost Tyrell Williams, so those targets are gone as well. So I think... he's going to combine that role with Williams' prior role from this past season. So by default, he's going to get more targets.
It is important to know Keenan Allen is hurt right now. It's not a big deal, but I think, I'm pretty sure they might be holding him out for the rest of the preseason games.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. You're not going to risk a guy like Keenan Allen at this point. All right, let's move into 10. Our consensus 10 is T.Y. Hilton. I also have him at 10. What do you have, T.Y. Hilton?
I have T.Y. at 11.
You have T.Y. at 11, so...
I'm going to let you have your little love fest with T.Y. Yeah. Hilton real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I like T.Y. Hilton. I also had him last year. It comes down to, is Andrew Luck going to be the quarterback? Which, right now, he seems fine. Worst case, he might miss a game if he misses the first game or something.
I think he'll be active, personally.
Yeah, and... here's the stats for when Luck was out, right? So in 2017, when Andrew Luck was out, 2017, when Andrew Luck was out, he didn't play. T.Y. averaged 4 receptions a game for 60 yards. That's just not great. He only had 4 or 5 touchdowns on the season. It was pretty bad. And while that was his average of 4 receptions, 60 yards, that was the average for that whole season. He only had 4 games where he actually got over 60 yards. So that year was bad. So I can't emphasize enough how bad it would be if he doesn't have Andrew Luck for any number of games. And when you're drafting a wide receiver at the end of the second, into the third, you kind of want someone who's going to have their quarterback. But assuming he has Luck back, 2018, he averaged 17.1 points per game. In 2016, what do you think he averaged?
Probably around 17.
He averaged 17.1. Oh, the exact same points per game in 2018, 2016. So if that doesn't say consistency, it's only 2 years, but the exact same points per game. And the weird years where Luck wasn't out. So if you're counting on 17.1 points per game, I mean, you're drafting him in a good spot right now. So T.Y. is another one of those guys that may have those boomer bust games. I think he's Tyreek Hill just downgraded a little bit, but he can go off. He's a weak runner too, I think. I think okay. He is, you know.
So would you go T.Y. over Keenan Allen?
Let me consult my rankings.
Uh-huh. I just looked at your rankings, so they're back-to-back.
Yeah, I have T.Y. above Keenan Allen. If Andrew Luck is confirmed as healthy and starting...
Well, all right, so say their draft is this weekend.
We are drafting this weekend,
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
If there's no announcement, they're announcing after week three, if Andrew Luck is active, would you take Keenan Allen over T.Y. Hilton?
I don't think so.
Really?
The reason why is because T.Y. Hilton is the number... Well,
so is Keenan.
Yeah, but I'm worried about Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. I really am worried about Mike Williams and Hunter Henry. And, I mean,
you're
in Indianapolis, what you have to worry about, like, who do they have? Devin Funchess? I mean, like, who else are you going to worry about taking Hilton's targets? Devin Funchess, Marlon Mack, Naeem Hines. I mean, I just find Hilton to be much more, even if he is the boom or bust guy, I think he's more safe than Keenan Allen. I'm worried about the injury for Allen.
Hilton is not that volume guy, though. He's the big play threat.
He is, but he has some games where he gets a lot of catches.
Yeah, but that's not consistent, though.
It isn't.
Keenan Allen, I don't care if there's, like, six other talented guys. He's the most talented guy in the room. So he's still going to get the lion's share. And honestly, the other targets that are there, they're going to just vote in his favor because they're going to not double-team him and just going to benefit him down the field.
This is the scenario, I think, for the debate between Hilton and Allen. I think for T.Y. Hilton, if you're drafting him as a wide receiver two, I think it's a great wide receiver two. Wide receiver one, I'd be worried.
I'd be comfortable with Allen as a wide receiver.
That's one. Yes, that is the scenario. If I'm sitting there with two running backs and I'm drafting
so a wide receiver which, one. Which wide receiver, like, what kind of receiver would you take as a wide receiver one?
I would take Keenan Allen.
No. So say you have wide receiver one already. Mm-hmm. Who would that be if you're comfortable having with T.Y.?
I
would not pair him with, like, a Tyreek Hill. I would not do that.
I would probably pair him with, you know... Honestly, depending on where... Let's say first round you go running back. And then you come back around. Let's say you're around 6 or something like that. Maybe 5. Let's say you grab... Eh, grab a guy like David Johnson. Come back around. You get... maybe you get Juju. Or let's say Mike Evans. If you can get Mike Evans to pair him with T.Y. Hilton, I think that's a good pairing.
Okay.
I find that is a pretty good pairing. If I can have... Say on my team I have an RB1, David Johnson, you know, whoever falls to me at 5... And I can go Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton. I think that's a solid start.
Oh yeah, so that's honestly a fair, like, assessment there. I would still take Keenan Allen. I really like Keenan Allen this year. I'm biased. If he's my wide receiver too, I'm like jumping for joy. I'm just going nuts. But obviously, like, T.Y. Hilton, he has that boom potential. He can win you a week any given time. But like I said, I like that floor, that safer floor with a slightly lower ceiling. But
sure.
I like the safer play at wide receiver personally.
Sure. And all right, so into 11. Our 11, we'll go a little bit quicker now through the rest of these guys. 11, Adam Thielen. I love Adam Thielen this year. In my rankings right now, he is at 9. I'm very excited to see him play. What do you think?
I have him at 12. I'm a little more bullish on him than you may be. I'm looking at how his season went last year. Obviously, he still had an incredible season. Had career highs in receptions, targets, touchdowns, yards. But I'm looking at the first 8 weeks of the season. That's when he basically went off. That's where his production was. He had 10-plus points each of the first 8 weeks. Then he kind of sputtered down the stretch. He scored 10-plus points from week 9 to week 17. He only scored 10 points plus once.
Mm-hmm.
The other games, they were kind of pitiful. They kind of killed you down the stretch of the season. And if you had him and you're in the fantasy playoffs, I almost guarantee you were not in the championship round. He kind of killed your team down the stretch. I don't know if it was defenses adjusting to the Vikings, what they were doing, or if it was just a pure offensive, like, dilemma there, like internal destruction going on. I know they fired John D. Filippo as the offensive coordinator. It's kind of up in the air. I'm personally not as comfortable with taking Thielen. Obviously, if the board plays a certain way, I would take him, but it has to be, like, a perfect situation for me to actually take Adam Thielen.
Yeah, for me, I think I'm going to be taking, you know, it's very possible our draft is on Saturday. I can easily see me winding up. If I can get Thielen as my wide receiver too, I am so happy with that. I think he's going to be really safe. Last year, Kirk Cousins, he had a bad stretch toward it. It wasn't just Thielen. Like,
that's what worries me.
It was bad, but their offense, it's better this year. They're going to have Dalvin Cook back. Their Dalvin Cook back is a better offense.
He was back down the stretch of the season, though. He was healthy.
Yeah, but I think they're gonna get it right with Thielen. I think Diggs. I'd rather have Thielen than Diggs. We'll talk about Diggs, mm-hmm. but Thielen just represents a really safe wide receiver too. As we compare him to a guy like T.Y. Hilton, I think Thielen's a much more safe guy. I'd probably pair, if I can go Tyreek Hill and Adam Thielen, I love that combo. Or if you just want to do two safe guys, you could go like Devontae Adams, you know, Adam Thielen, whatever. But Thielen this year, he's going to be one of my guys I'm looking to draft. So let's get into the next one. Justin, you can lead off talking about this guy because first of all, the last time we talked, I was higher up on this guy, and I really liked him, but
we kind of flip-flopped a little bit
on this one. Yeah, we kind of flopped because, oh man, I'm just struggling to want him this year at this point.
Now. I would only want him if the board falls a certain way, my roster constructs a certain way, but...
Who are we talking about,
by the way? We are talking about Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
So I'm just going to start off with this, with six straight seasons of 1,200-plus yards and 100 catches. Brown, if his head's in the game, obviously it's not the same helmet, but...
If his head's in the helmet.
It'll be a different helmet. Ah, see what I did there? Ha-ha! Ah, wow. I'm great, guys. Wow. All right, I'm one of a kind. Okay. Besides the point, though, he's still one of the most talented receivers of this generation, six plus years. He's been absolutely incredible, and he's coming off a year with 100 catches, 1,300 yards, 15 touchdowns. That's nothing to laugh at there. He's absolutely incredible. I feel like most of this dilemma, it's more or less just him not wanting to play in training camp and just wanting to get ready for week one. I don't think he'd be at number nine if he just came up and said to the Raiders, I'm Antonio Brown. I don't want to practice in training camp. I don't want to play in the preseason. I'll be there week one. I think he would still be like a top five player on most people's boards.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But with all this dilemma, obviously his foot doesn't help anything. Probably one of the grossest thing I've ever said.
Yep.
Seen, not said. But I called my dad actually called me out for that comment I made about him in the last episode. He walked in from work and he's like, "So, my feet smell, huh?" And I'm like, "Oh, Dad." I'm like, "Oh no."
Now you gotta go to the store and buy him some.
I'm in the doghouse.
Some good food.
I'll get him some slippers or something.
Oh, slippers.
Hide the feet.
Get him some cookies. Cookies, candy. What else would he want?
Maybe some new socks.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Everyone can use socks.
Hide the feet. Hand in hand.
Okay, all right, fine. That works. But Antonio Brown.
Yeah, but if he's there like tail end of round two, that's kind of where I would feel okay. End of round two, early round three, that's where I would kind of try and scoop him up. If someone's willing to take him earlier than that, have at it. But I think that's a good value there, round three. If he's a wide receiver two, that's incredible. I'll take that risk any day of the week. I think that's going to pay off for you in the end.
Now, he is going... He is our consensus 12, but he's my 15. That's why he's all the way down here. But he's going behind. He's going ahead of guys like Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, T.Y. Hilton, Adam Thielen. He's going way ahead of these guys. So consistent in almost every single mock I do, he's ahead of those guys. So you can figure out what you want to do. I
went with this. He is slowly climbing up my boards. I know there was news today that came out. He was practicing with the new regulated helmet.
Yep.
So that's a nice sign. It's very encouraging going forward that he will be with the Raiders. I know Mike Mayock made the comment. It's time for him to be all in or all out. I think he's choosing to be all in because he's kind of conforming there, getting that helmet. If he's actually like participating, he's being cooperative. I think he's going to be a great value in most drafts.
Oh, he'll be a fantastic value. I think he'll be a great value, but I don't know. I figured that since he is my 15, I think there's 14 other wide receivers that I'd rather have that'll get guaranteed production above Antonio Brown. I just don't really want to take the risk with where he's going. He is going really back of the second. I can't take my second pick, take Antonio Brown. I just can't take that risk. Okay, so... 13.
Yeah. Mike Tyson over here.
13. So our 13 pick.
13.
Is Robert Woods.
Mm-hmm. Robert Woods.
I'm excited for Robert Woods too. I think he's the receiver to own in the Rams trio there of Cooper Kupp, Brandon Cooks, Robert Woods. I think he's going to be the safest guy. Guaranteed production. Cooks, obviously, boom or bust. But do you see Robert Woods also being the top wide receiver, I mean, based on your rankings.
Easily.
Yeah.
So I can be honestly pretty brief about this. Robert Woods, he's going to be an absolute steal of the draft. His current ADP is in round 4, sometimes sliding into round 5. So if you're able to get him there, and he could honestly be your wide receiver 1, but he's in all likelihood going to be your wide receiver 2, and that's an incredible tandem. No matter who you have as your wide receiver 1, he's going to be incredible for you there. And obviously, he's on the Rams offense. You want every part of that offense. It's high-flying. Sean McVay, he's absolutely incredible. So
he finished as a wide receiver 1 last year.
Yeah, sign me up.
He finished at 11 in PPR scoring, so you expect
shut up
maybe,
and take my money, please.
You expect maybe a worse offense in general if Todd Gurley's going to be limited. I think their offense could be worse.
It won't be much worse.
That's why I think I have him at, what, I have him at 12 rather than 11, so he's still a wide receiver 1 for me. 13 in our consensus rankings.
So I think we can move on to our consensus number 14 then. So that will be Stephon Diggs of the Minnesota Vikings. Do you want to talk about Diggs a little bit, Andrew?
Diggs, I don't think I'm going to be drafting Diggs at all. I think he's way too just streaky with his performances. Like, I remember when I had Diggs, it was at the point where I just didn't know when to start him, when to plug him in. I didn't know if he was going to put up 6 points, get a couple catches, if it was going to be Thielen or Diggs. And most of the time it was Thielen last year, at least in the beginning of the year. But Diggs, for his ADP right now, I'm just going to take all the other wide receivers around him rather than Diggs. I think the offense does get an upgrade with Dalvin Cook being there for the full year. It's very possible Diggs is a wide receiver 1 this year, 100% possible, if he wants to step up and take his final form and actually become a true elite wide receiver. He really should be the true, you know, number 1. Not mm-hmm. It shouldn't be Adam Thielen, but Diggs is the guy that has the insane hands and just could put up monster season like Odell. When I think Stephon Diggs, I think like Odell. Maybe it might be because of the gloves too. They both wear like white gloves, mm-hmm. but I don't know. I think you're going to be liking Diggs. Obviously, I said I like Thielen. Do you have a case for Diggs as to why you think?
All right, so I'm going to start with this. So if this whole football thing never works out for Diggs, he should be a roller coaster designer, because that's exactly what he is. He is a roller coaster. So he has all the highs, the highest highs, and he has the lowest lows. An example of that, week 2, put up a performance of 26.9 points. Oh, all these owners are excited to play him. Oh, yeah, week 3, he's going to kill it. Yeah. He's going to kill it. Week 3, he put up 1.7 points.
That's just...
Woo! So throughout the entire season, he had 4 performances of 4 points or less, which you don't want that at all, especially where his ADP is.
Sure.
He's being taken around 4. You don't want that as a wide receiver 2. That's not very comforting. But he did also have those 9 games of 10-plus points. So it's kind of a roller coaster ride with Diggs. You don't know what you're going to get week to week. You're kind of just stuck in that situation almost. You're going
to have to start him.
You have to start him. You can't bench him.
You got
to
start him every week. He finishes the wide receiver 10 PPR, so...
So you're going to go through that entire roller coaster. You're going to hate him. You're like, oh, he's got to be at least around, like, 25. You look and he's at 10. It's like, well, crap. Okay.
Yeah. Yep, I mean...
He can win you a week.
I do think that risk is baked in his ADP, because where he is being drafted, he does have the... I mean, he's the wide receiver 10, right? He's the wide receiver 10, and we have him ranked at 14, so... you could easily get great value there. I would just rather have a guy like Robert Woods, who I think is going to be much more safer, or the next guy that we're going to talk about. I'd rather have him.
Yeah, this next guy, I love this guy moving forward this entire season. So this guy is Julian Edelman of the New England Patriots. He's back. He's healthy. I think he had a broken thumb. I think he's cleared, though. So he's good to go now.
Yeah, he is.
So he's honestly primed to have a huge 2019. So Gronk retiring, that's a big deal. So I did some research.
Okay.
So with some stats from Edelman's last 16 regular season games without Rob Gronkowski, he was on pace. Those 16 games, he had 114 catches on 180 targets for 1,374 yards and 3 touchdowns. So if that kind of value as a wide receiver 2, I would...
How many touchdowns?
3. But
there's a problem.
I'm looking at these receptions. I'm looking at the yards. That production is still going to be there. He's going to get more than 3 touchdowns. It's actually like built into the offense itself. Edelman, he's probably, if you look at like their actual construction now, he's going to be their best red zone threat at this point. He's great in short yardage situations. Who are they going to have like that's going to dominate in the red
zone? Josh Gordon.
So Josh Gordon's back. He's probably the only other option that's like comparable to that.
Yeah, probably.
And through the passing game. So obviously in the running game, Sonny Michel is gonna like banging up the middle there. But
James White gets those, you know, if they're like right at the 20, just they check it down to, like, James White. Like, I've seen that play happen so many times.
But if they're throwing the ball, which they've done many times, I think Edelman's the go-to guy in that situation. He's already Tom Brady's security blanket. He's honestly as safe as they come throughout all of football. So I'd be extremely comfortable. I have him at 14.
I have him at 14.
So I'm extremely comfortable with him as a wide receiver, too. I'd roll with him any day.
Yeah, he's another one of those guys. Pretty safe floor if he's healthy. Really, I think health's really the only question with Edelman. Tom Brady loves to throw the ball to him. So, I think that's Julian Edelman. You know what you're going to get with Julian Edelman if he's healthy on the field. You have Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever to play. Running game, they have some great running backs. Sonny Michel, James White, like, they're ready to go. Who was their other running back? They have someone else, too, but I can't remember who.
I think Rex Burkhead's still on
contract. Yeah, they have Rex Burkhead.
But he wasn't really, he's kind of phased out.
Yeah, but their offense is going to be good. It's the Patriots. They're always good, no matter who they have. So, I mean, Edelman's going to get productions if he's healthy. So. But that's our top 15 wide receivers.
I'm going to run through our consensus one more time for you. So our consensus one was DeAndre Hopkins. Number two, Davante Adams. Number three, Julio Jones. Number four, Tyreek Hill. Number five, Juju Smith-Schuster. Number six, Michael Thomas. Number seven, Odell Beckham Jr. Number eight, Mike Evans. Number nine, Keenan Allen. Number 10, T.Y. Hilton. 11, Adam Thielen. 12, Antonio Brown. 13, Robert Woods. 14, Stephon Diggs, and rounding out number 15, Julian Edelman.
Yeah, and keep up to date with us, guys. Follow us on our Twitters, at the FF Phenoms, at Justin Herforth. Check him out over there, and me, at PhenomAC. We post when the episodes go live, when the season goes on. This is the most popular draft weekend. It's very likely you might be drafting this weekend, so if you have any questions, please reach out to us on Twitter. We'll try and help you with your pick. If you're picking at one, where do you go? Do you want to pick Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara? Let us know. We'll try and help you out, or at least give you some ideas of what to do there. So, anything else to add?
Make sure you follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Pocket Cask. Pocket Cast.
Not Cask.
I don't even know what that word is. Sorry, people at Pocket Cast. I'm so sorry. And also Google Play. I got that one right. Batting 1,000. On that note, I'm going to end on there. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure you stay follow with us. And until next time, peace.
See you later.